Esther, chapter number 3. The Bible says, after these things, did the king Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed, reverend Haman, for the king had so commanded that concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? It came to pass when they spake daily unto him that he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Haman saw Mordecai bow not, nor did him reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath. He thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. The first month, that is, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. The Bible says in verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, bringing it to the king's treasury. The king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jews' enemy. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Now we already know, as beginning and studying this chapter in Esther, that king was a wicked king. He was ungodly. He was a drunkard. He was a fornicator. There's all kinds of things we found out about him already. And we see now that he has nothing but greed in his heart, and he's after the profit and the money. Doesn't care about the people, as we see that. He don't care about them. And he says to Haman, the Agite there, he says that the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the king, in the name of the king of Harius, Ahasuerus, there we go, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, watch this now, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. They should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given to Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman, watch this now, sat down to drink. But the city, Shushan, was perplexed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your precious word. And I pray, God, tonight you illuminate this mind, guard these lips of clay. Help me to say, Lord, that's needful and necessary in this hour. And I pray, God, you'd help us to glean from Scripture tonight. And I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this week and for this day. And then, Lord, for this time we've had to come together tonight. I pray, Lord, your will is accomplished. Your will is done through the preaching of your word. And Father, we do love you. Thank you and praise you for loving us. And thank you for giving us this opportunity tonight to be here, to hear the precious word of God. And I pray, Lord, you speak to every heart. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what's accomplished and what is done. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As we started in our study of the book of Esther, we found out at the beginning of this thing how wicked the king was, and I said that already. But we see now how he was bringing all the people together, all the princes and the servants, and bringing them all into his palace, and they was all drinking and carousing and having a party time, and we've seen how he did all that. And during the drinking and the carousing, how he brought his wife Vashti, he brought her up, wanted to try to get her to come up and introduce herself in a vulgar way before all of the men and dance around and all that stuff. And we seen the wicked heart of the king, seen how ungodly he was, and then he gets mad at her because she wouldn't obey him and his ungodliness. And we discussed some of that. We want to get into that again tonight. But we know that all this time when all this is going on, that he gets angry at her. And then, of course, his servants say, "Hey, listen, won't we do away with her, put her out of the queen's position, get her out of office, and let's get another queen. Let's get somebody else in place." So they begin the ungodly deed of doing that. And then the way they did that was such a wicked way. And they bring all these girls in. The Bible calls them virgins, which they were young girls and young ladies. And I don't really want to call them a lady because the things they're doing wasn't ladylike. But anyway, as we study the book of Esther, keep this in mind. You will not find where it talks about God through the book of Esther, but you will find the providential hand of God all throughout the book of Esther. You'll find a lot of wickedness and ungodliness as we study these people and the things that they do. As we look at the king and his wicked ways, we understand that, he was of the devil, amen? He was of the devil, and of course he lied and did all kinds of things like that. And we see others was supporting him in his bad habits and his ungodly deeds. But we keep in mind, though, that God's providential hand, and God is going to protect his people. Amen? Keep that in mind, that God had told his people when they left Egyptian bondage that he would bring them to a land, the promised land that he had promised them. He would bring them to a land. And if God says it, you can write it down and bank on it. Amen. God's going to do what God said he was going to do. Now, the problem we have with that is most of the time we don't have faith enough to believe God is going to do what God said he would do. We have to understand, as we study our Bible, the greatest thing that we have is our faith in God. Amen. That's the greatest thing that we have. And we have a God, amen, that cares for his people. And so we have faith in him and faith in his word that he's going to do what he said he would do. I believe that he said that he would come again. I believe he's coming again in the Son of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to come. He's going to come again. He's going to take us out of this world. I believe that, and it's by faith I believe that. But as we travel this life, we're sort of in a picture type, if you would. Let me borrow your mind for just a few minutes and think of this. As the Jews were traveling through, as they were going from Egypt to the Canaan land, to the promised land, as they were traveling through, there was a group that tried to interfere, if you would, tried to destroy them, and they snuck up from behind. You read in the book of Exodus, you find the Amalekites there. They sneak up in behind in the rear marching of the nation that's going across the land. They come up and try to attack them from behind. And God saw that, of course, and God is watching after his people. And God had instructed Moses, and Moses, of course, instructed Joshua on down through the line. And God had declared war against the Amalekites because they were wanting to destroy him and tried to destroy God's people. God didn't take that too kindly, amen? Let me say this tonight. God still doesn't take it too kindly when people go to messing with his children, amen? God doesn't take that too kindly. He doesn't like that. And I promise you, God will deal with those ungodly individuals. Amen. God will deal with that. I know that the Bible teaches us He is the judge. Amen. And one of these days they will stand before the judge. Amen. He will deal with that. God doesn't take it kindly when people mess with his children or try to harm them in some wicked and ungodly way or try to destroy them. And we see that in these Jews. They're traveling and they're making their way to the promised land. And the Amalekites try to destroy them. I said all that to say this, that Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites. If you notice with me, the Bible introduces him in verse number 1. It says, after these things, the king Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite. Agite was the king, or Agag, however you want to pronounce his name, was the king of the Amalekites. And so he is a descendant of the Amalekites. There's no wonder he had hatred in his heart for the Jews. Amen. He had hatred in his heart for the Jews. He wanted to destroy them. But listen, they were doing this thing, and I believe it is all the work of the devil. And we see this tonight as a picture of good and evil. It's a picture of the Lord and the devil. It's a picture of God's children and the world. Amen. And there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be a battle as long as we're on this earth. But I'm so glad that I am on the winning side. Amen. I'm glad tonight there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at God's people and what is going on in their life. It had been 4 years since Esther has been voted in as queen, been put into position as the queen. Mordecai, which was her uncle, had been taking care of the king's business at the gate. Everything's going fine. Everybody's happy. Everything was going along just as good as it could go. Then all of a sudden, after 4 years, here comes some danger. Here comes some trouble on the scene. Isn't that just like the devil? When everything seems to be going well, everything seems to be going right, everything seems to be a hunky-dory at the house, the sorry rotten devil likes to intervene and stick his nose in where it don't belong and bring in trouble. Amen. Same way at the church house. Things are going along real good. Everybody's singing and shouting, enjoy the blessings of God. And then the next thing you know, something comes up and the devil pops up his ugly head and tries to destroy and tries to murder, tries to kill and cause people to perish. As the Bible says here about the Jews, that's just the way the devil likes to work. As we study this, we'll find that everything was going good. And then here comes Haman with his bad attitude and his hatred for the Jews. Now, some people may say of Mordecai that he was an extremist. Well, why couldn't he just have bowed? It would have solved his whole problem if he'd have just bowed his knee to Haman like everybody else was doing. If he'd have just done that, it'd have solved all these problems. We wouldn't even have this account in the Scripture if he'd have just bowed. Listen, there's something I'm not going to bow to. Amen. And Haman was wicked and he was ungodly. He was not a godly man. He hated the Jews, which was God's people. And I promise you, if Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, I wouldn't have bowed to him neither. Amen. I wouldn't have done that. If the Pope were to walk in here tonight, you'd be amazed at the people in Ranelagh, North Carolina. If the Pope were to come to town, you'd be amazed at the people would fall down and kiss his feet or kiss his ring or make some big show out of him being in town. I'll promise you, if he shows up, this preacher will stand firm on my feet and I will not bow to no other man. Amen. I'm not going to do that. You ought not either. Let me just go and say that. Y'all shout big amen right there. We're not going to bow to no man. Amen. If Jesus Christ shows up on the scene now, that's a whole other story. Amen. But if he shows up, I'm a going up. I certainly ain't a going down. Amen. Hallelujah. But we see that Mordecai, some think that he was an extremist. Maybe he's going just a little too far in his religion. Some people like to say that about us. Well, you guys take things just a little too far, don't you? Hey, listen, this is not one of those hip-hopping, bebopping, rocking churches because I'm not going that direction. Amen. And some people say, well, preacher, you just take things a little too far. Don't you think you're just a little hard? It's a new age. It's a new day. It's a new time. We need to change our Bible. We need to change our songs. And I say, no, I'm just going to go with God. Amen. Mordecai wasn't an extremist. He wasn't going too far in his religion. Hey, listen, he wasn't even going too far in his convictions. Some people get twisted up with our convictions and say, hey, you're taking things a little too far in your convictions. Well, you better take them far. Because this world surely ain't taking any of them at all. Amen. They're trying to destroy a Christian's convictions and trying to convince us. That's the work of the devil, to convince us to just let it down, let the standard down, let the rule down, let your convictions down and fall prey to the devil's work and let him destroy you. That's exactly what he wanting to do. The Bible says that Mordecai didn't bow. Some, as I said, think he's going a little too far. He's an extremist. What they didn't realize, what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse 29, the Bible says it's better to obey God than man. Amen. We better obey our Bibles. Obey God and His Word. Listen, Mordecai didn't bow. Haman gets mad and he's angry. He's angry and he comes to the king and he makes this decree. And he talks with the king and gets him to make this decree. And he says, listen, there's some out there in the land. There's those that will not bow to me. And they will not heed the rulings or the decree of the king. And it's just not profitable, king, for you to have such people that's in your province, that's in your kingdom. They just don't need to be here. So I think what we'll do is we'll just kill them all off and we'll destroy them, and I'll put 10,000 talents in your treasury. I'll put some money in there, and I'll load you up if you'll just take care or allow me to take care of these wicked Jews. 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those who have charge of the business to bring to the king's treasury. Verse number 9. The king took his ring in his hand and he gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. He gave him that ring and sealed the deal. And the scripture says at the end of this thing that the king and Haman had sat down to drink. They was merry in their heart to do wicked and to do wrong against God's people. Let me say tonight, there's a lot of people that are merry in their heart to do wrong against God's people. There's the atheists and the agnostics and many others in different cults are merry in their heart to do wrong against God's people. All right, listen, it makes them happy. If they could shut down another church, they'd be thrilled to death. Hey, listen, if they could stop the preacher, there's already battles going on in North Carolina from a preacher just preaching the Word of God. They're trying to shut him up. And so if they get him to shut up on the street, they'll be working in the church house next to get us to shut up. They're merry in their heart to do such a thing. That, my friend, is the work of the devil. Amen. That's the opposing power trying to stop God's people from doing what pleases God. As we look at this, we find that Haman was a very a wicked man, as I said already. He's trying to do this thing against God's people, but Mordecai stood against him. Now, as I was studying a little bit this afternoon, I had a few minutes to do that, and I every once in a while get to do that. But I was studying. It says the king of the Amalekites was Agag, descendant of Agag, he was the king of the Amalekites, who makes him an Agagite, a Gagite, or however you want to say that. God had ordered that the memory of the Amalekites and the name of the Amalekites to be destroyed. As I said, God's people were attacked as they were traveling. Saul, King Saul, was ordered to destroy them. You know your Bibles, you know that King Saul did not destroy all the Amalekites. Remember the account, and they came to Saul and said, hey, what happened? And he said, well, I destroyed them all. Well, the people kept some of the animals. Remember the bleeping in the background? King Saul didn't kill everybody. And so what happened is, when he failed to kill them, there was some that left over and some that lived. And one of those descendants, of course, is Haman. And now he was determined to annihilate the people's enemy, which was his people's enemy, the Jews. Now, King Saul was a Benjamite who failed to destroy the Amalekites. But Mordecai was also a Benjamite who took up the battle to defeat Haman. Amen. I'm glad when somebody else don't get the job done, somebody will step up to the plate and finish the job. Amen. Listen, Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do. He didn't obey God. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the Bible even says that he repented God that he ever made Saul king. But here's Mordecai on the scene, and he's taking up the mantle, if you would, and he's going to fight and stand against this ungodliness and stand for God's people, the Jews. Amen. Listen, let me say this tonight. As we read this passage of Scripture, God was not taken by surprise. This is a situation after 4 years that comes up all of a sudden. And the Jews are distraught. They're so discouraged. Could you imagine getting news? Listen, it comes in the form of a letter that's been delivered throughout all the province that the Jews were to be destroyed, to be killed, to be put to death, to perish. And one day, and that letter had went through all the country, the Jews were going to die. Somebody's going to kill them. And there was money being paid for whoever took the job. Could you imagine the feeling of being a Jew in that day. Could you imagine those who would say, well, if you'll just renounce that you're a Jew, you'll be all right. Well, if you just change your hair color, you'll put some makeup on, they'll never know you're a Jew. Well, won't you change some things and you'll be just fine. What if they wanted them to, I just borrow your mind and use mine just a little bit. I just wonder what went through their mind. I wonder how many people were to come to them and say, hey, won't you go hide here or go hide there? I wonder how their faith was. God had promised them so many things. And God's a God that never breaks a promise. But now here's a decree that's been written by the king. That's just like Donald Trump saying, I'm going to destroy every born-again believer. What would you do? Boy, that's a good thought, isn't it? I guarantee there'd be some to renounce that. Say, oh, no, not me. I'm not one of them. Hey, Peter said it. Peter, the disciple of the Lord, said, I don't know the man. Hello? If they said to you that they're going to destroy all the born-again believers, all the, I don't want to say Christians because some people like to use that name and they're not born again, but all the born-again believers, amen, I'm going to destroy them, what would we do? I wonder what the Jews were thinking. I wonder how their faith was. I wonder if they worried themselves sick at night. I wonder what they were thinking as they get the news and the decree was given and it was written on a piece of paper sealed by the king that this was a definite thing and the Jews were going to die. I'm glad to say God was on the throne. God was on the scene. God wasn't taken by surprise at all. I just believe those Jews that believed in God, that loved God, that served God, I believe that they had the faith that God had got them that far, God would see them through. Amen? I just believe that. I know we can question all kinds of things and wonder what went through their mind. I just believe they knew that God would deliver and God would see them through this circumstance. Hey, God got them through the deep sea, the Red Sea, amen. It wasn't the Reed Sea or the knee-deep sea. It was the Red Sea. It was over their head. God got them through that. God got them through many other things. Crossed the Jordan whenever it was flooded. I mean, God had worked so many miracles before them and their forefathers before them, and God had done all this. I don't believe they was taken by surprise at all whenever God showed up on the scene. God's there. You don't see Him. It's not mentioned in Scripture, but God is there. He's got two people in place. One of them is Esther the queen, and the second one that God's got in place is Mordecai. And they are there for a purpose. They are there for a reason. And that purpose is to protect God's people, amen, to be in position and to do what needs to be done so God's people are not harmed. I want to say tonight, it's amazing sometimes whenever things seem to be going so well and seems to be going so good and the devil rears his ugly head, how many people renounce they even know God, they stay away from church and they don't do anything for the church and they just run to the world when things get tough. Hey, listen, the devil wants to destroy every one of us. Get a hold of that tonight. It may not be Donald Trump saying he wants to destroy us, but the devil wants to destroy each and every one of us. Amen? If we're saved tonight, he can't get our soul. But trust me, he wants your body. He wants your mind. And anything that he can get, he wants that to destroy that so you will not be an effective Christian, so you won't witness to anybody about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. If he can just destroy you spiritually, that's good enough for him. Say to us all tonight, listen, how are we going to be encouraged in such a time as that? How was the Jews encouraged? I believe they was encouraged by the precious promises of God. They didn't have a completed Bible like we have. They didn't have that in those days. All they had was the words of the prophets. What they had told them, there was a few scrolls. Listen, but everybody didn't have a copy. And I believe that they was leaning on the promises of God. Amen. But we tonight have a precious copy of the Word of God. I've got several of them myself. I mean, listen, how can we be encouraged in a day when the devil has turned the heat up and wants to destroy us spiritually? What can we do? Well, the Bible says and gives us an answer. I'm glad you asked me because I want to tell you. The book of Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. If you have faith, saving faith, we know that we're saved tonight. Most of us here, I believe, are saved. And I believe you have that testimony. Most of us are. Amen. We have the testimony that we're saved. But then there's the sustaining faith. What's going to get us through? And the Bible says whenever the tough get going, the tough look unto Jesus. When times are tough and things are bad. Hey, listen, in your regular everyday walk of life and things are going great, then all of a sudden the devil throws something at you. And you're tripped up, and you're discouraged, and you're worried, and you're concerned, and you have no idea what's going to be the outcome. Look unto Jesus. Amen. Well, preacher, that sounds so easy. Just open your Bibles and look unto Jesus. That sounds so easy. How are we supposed to live every day of our life with just saying, look unto Jesus? I mean, that just sounds so empty. My friend, if you get a hold of the Word of God and study that and let God speak to you, honey, I promise you that ain't empty. Amen. You get a hold of the Word of God and you look into Jesus through the Word of God and say, God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Would you show me? Would you help me? Just encourage my heart that I'm doing the right thing. And God, I promise you, will speak to you through His Word. He'll encourage you. He'll help you every single day. Boy, it's good to study the Bible every day. Amen. Even when things are good and things are not falling apart, it's good to stay in the Word of God. I've got this Bible app on my phone, and I really like it. It's called Bible Version, and you can use any version. Of course, I use the King James only. Thank you very much. And I like that app on my phone, and it keeps up. It tells me that I have a streak going. And it's got lightning bolts. Every time it comes up, there's all these lightning bolts. Said, you've got a great streak, 90-some days without missing a day of reading the Word of God. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying it keeps up with it. And it tells me, you got a streak going. Well, I've got that thing set up every morning where it sends me a verse. Amen. I have no choice but to read it, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But these smartphones are pretty smart. And they can send you a verse of Scripture. And every morning, whenever I get that verse of Scripture, I stop what I'm doing and I read the Word of God. You know what that does? First of all, it embarrasses the flesh. Amen? It embarrasses the flesh. Just like when you bow your head to pray in a public restaurant, the public place, that embarrasses the flesh. Amen? And it pleases God. And I read that verse of Scripture and I make my flesh embarrassed and mad. And then the devil's mad because I've read the Word of God. He thinks that he's got a half a chance with me today. I've read the Word of God and I've been encouraged. In myself, listen, I cannot fight him. I'm not saying that I can. I don't ever try. But through Christ, I can do all things. And I can make it through the day. And I can look unto Jesus. Amen. The author and the finisher of my faith. He wrote the book. He knows, amen, how to live by faith. He spent 33 and a half years on this earth. Amen. He knows how to live by faith. And He's given us the instructions on how to just listen to Him and trust Him, although we have no idea what the outcome's going to be. I could imagine the Jews were probably wondering if they truly were going to die. I just believe that if they were thinking about this and thinking about dying, that they were probably thinking about going to a much better place. They're going to see the Redeemer. So, you know, if you think about that for just a little bit, whenever others in the Bible, there's so many examples, and my mind's just going every which way, but there's so many examples in the Bible of those that were near death, or even those that died. I think of Stephen was stoned to death. And he was stoned to death. And listen, those others that were killed and martyred for the Lord, I don't think they was worried about the outcome. I think they're probably pretty excited this thing's over with. Now listen, I'm telling us all, and I want to say all that to say this thing's almost over with. And the devil's doing everything he can to throw up everything he can at us, to trip us up, to make us, listen, get worried and get discouraged and get our focus off the Lord. That day is coming when Jesus Christ will step out on the clouds and call us home. And it is important, it's vital to us as born-again believers to keep our focus on the Lord. Amen. Keep our eyes on Him. Amen. Not the problems, not the circumstance, not whoever's causing the issue, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. And keep your focus on Him and His Word and the promises, the fact that He didn't lie, never will. And keep your focus on that. Keep your head up. Don't walk around with your lip dragging the ground, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. This thing's almost over, and all those problems and sorrows will be over. Mother sung that song tonight by no accident. Amen. Listen, there's a wonderful place called heaven. We're going. Amen. By faith, I believe that I'll be there. If I'm not there, don't come looking for me. I'm sure I'll be there. If you're not there, I'm not coming looking for you neither. I'm telling you now, you better make ready. Amen. You better make ready. Listen real close. Well, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. There's a lost and dying world. And the devil's decreed, kill them, take them to hell. Devil's decreed. He's sealed it. He's decreed it. If I can get them, I'll get them. Can't get those that are saved, but he's after those that are lost. If he can stop them from coming to the church, he'll do it. If he can put hindrances in their life to keep them out of the house of God, to keep you away from them, he'll do it. He's decreed they'll die in their sins, go to hell. God's given us the Word of God. He's given us the promises of God, everything we need. Take them the good news of the gospel. Amen. Take them some good news. The letter's sealed. God sealed it. Hallelujah. Take them the letter and say, listen, you don't have to die in your sins and go to hell. You don't have to die that way. You don't have to go to a devil's hell and burn throughout all eternity. There's good news. There's one called Jesus Christ that died for your sins, paid the debt, was buried, died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, but thank God he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the good news is, my friend, he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, praying for us. Amen. Let's take the good news and spread it. There's a hurting world out there. And the devil's determined to take him to hell. Let's make it our priority, amen. Share the good news of the gospel. They may too know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord.